a dose of old time salvation through the blood of Christ will fix the problems of our country. We have what the world needs. It's called the truth, the pillar and ground of truth, the message of the gospel. And we've been looking at different characters in the Bible that became a voice for God, and they lifted up that one voice. What about John's voice as he lifted it up and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." And I wonder if there's anybody here today, you're glad when you was in your world of darkness, somebody pointed you to the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And what about Daniel's voice when he said, "I'll not defy myself with the things in this land of Babylon, but I'm going to serve God." And God bless the man of God by the name of Daniel. I really enjoyed the woman at the well when she lifted her voice and said, "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is he not the Christ?" I enjoyed the voice of David when he rallied the troops and said, "Is there not a cause?" And most of these one voices, we've been preaching it from the perspective of someone lifting their voice that others may hear it, believe. But today, from Isaiah 6, we're going to see a voice that's lifted. And it's not lifted to the world as testimony. It's not lifted to the lost as an invitation to be saved. But this voice is lifted up to God. Isaiah's talking to God. Now he preaches later on, thunders. In fact, we even preached on this. He will lift up his voice like a trumpet. But in this text, he is talking to God. He is lifting his voice up to the Lord. And I've called it the voice of obedience, or the voice of volunteer. He's not asking God to send his brother. He's not telling God to send his family. But he is making a personal decision, a personal choice, a personal commitment. God, I'm willing. I volunteer. I'm not running from you. I'm running to you. Oh, the happiest day in your life is when you quit running from God and run to God. And you'll find out when you get there, God's been wanting you all the time. Well, glory. I feel a storm coming on. They asked me in my office, they said, "Now just tell us what to do, because do y'all get out at 12? I said, "Somewhere in the vicinity. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." That doesn't sound like the old man upstairs to me. And if that's all you can say about the Lord, you need to stop, because you're about to blaspheme. High and lifted up. And the Bible said in verse number 2, "And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And they cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy." If that's all I read today, that's enough. Holy, holy, holy. Holy for God the Father, holy for God the Son, and holy for the Holy Ghost. Holy for the same yesterday, today, and forever. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, say this with me, woe is me, for I am undone. And can I just stop and say, if you ever get a glimpse of how holy God is, you will get a glimpse of how unholy we are. If you ever get a glimpse of how high God is, you'll get a glimpse of how low we need to get. When you really see who God is, you won't think very much of yourself. You say, are you propagating low self-esteem? No, but I am preaching against old religious pride. And I promise you, the closer you get to the glory of God, you'll cry like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And then he looked around and saw others and said, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have, well, glory. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go, and boy, you watch this, who will go for us? He heard a conversation, hallelujah, among the Godhead. Who shall go for us? Then notice his reply. Then said my brother. Then said my sister. Then said my preacher. Then said my neighbor. Then said I. And I love this next phrase. Here am I. Send me. That is the voice of obedience. Or that is the voice of volunteer. That is somebody that is saying, Lord, I volunteer. I am willing to go and do what you want me to do. I heard somebody say the other day that the only nation that has the largest volunteer army in the world is the United States of America. Now, I know back in World War II, World War I, in the Vietnam, Korea, that was a lot of drafting going on. And a lot of people got forced into doing something that they probably really didn't want to do, but I'm glad they were still willing to do it. And you're in a church today that will never disrespect our military or our police officers or our nation or our flag. We had our 4th of July service last Sunday. If you remember, I had on my red tie and I had on my American flag, and right beside of it was an Israeli flag, and that was my lapel pin for the day. Well, I rushed out of here and went straight to the airport, dripping in sweat. And I'm going through security. And an airport employee, not some little traveler, but an airport employee, behind the screen in security, stops me and begins to just give me down in the country for my Israel flag. And I stopped and said, bud, if I'd have known it would have aggravated you so good, I'd have wore one on both lapels. And I said, and by the way, God loves everybody. I love everybody. I said, do you love everybody? And he backed up and I said, no, because your religion, you God, won't let you love everybody. You hate certain people. But an old-fashioned, blood-washed, Holy Ghost, born-again, Bible-bought child of the living God, we got love in our heart for everybody, even our enemies. And I'll never disrespect our flag or our military. He said, what are you doing with that Israel flag on? I said, I love them too. And he about hit me when I said, and they're God's chosen people. He said, well, why don't you wear a certain other kind of flag? I said, I don't want to wear one of them. And we'll never disregard the land of the free and the home of the brave. But since the Vietnam conflict, we have a volunteer army. Men and women and boys and girls that have volunteered to go and fight for our freedoms and fight for our nation. And as much as I am impressed with that and in all of that, I want to tell you today there has been another army for 2,000 years that's been filled with volunteers that got overwhelmed by the power of God and overwhelmed by the goodness of God and overwhelmed by the glory of God. And they just waved out a white flag of surrender and said, God, if you're looking for a preacher, here I am. If you're looking for a Sunday school teacher, here I am. If you're looking for a singer, here I am. If you're looking for a tither, you know I'm a Baptist, I'm going to get on that, here I am. If you're looking for a soul winner, if you're looking for a witness, if you're looking for a voice of truth in a world of confusion and a voice of light in a world of darkness and a voice of hope in a world of despair, Lord, I volunteer. I can't do much, but I got a voice and I want to lift it up and I got a life and I want to live it. And most of us are sitting in this room today because one of God's volunteer soldiers had a burden for us and a passion for us, and we're reaping the benefit of somebody lifting their hand and saying, Lord, I volunteer, here am I, send me. I got a friend of mine that has people sign papers. If you're going to sing in our choir, if you're going to teach in our class, if you're going to do anything in our church, you got to sign this paper. You'll do it like this and you won't do it like that, and you will wear this and you won't wear that, and you will go here and you will not go there. And you listen to me, I believe a Christian ought to walk right, talk right, spit white. But if you got to sign my little old paper and pledge your allegiance to me, you are going to be in trouble when you stand before the judgment seat of God. Because if you do what you do because you fear the church or you fear the preacher, your works are going to be disintegrated by the power of God. But if you live for God and live right and walk right because you've fallen in love with the Master and been smitten by the glory of God, and because of what Calvary has touched your life. Brother, I don't serve God to please the brethren. I don't serve God to get the applause of men. I serve God because one night in Reidsville, North Carolina, I was overwhelmed with the glory of God and the grace of God and the power of God. I serve Him because I love Him. I go to church because I love Him. I give because I love Him. I preach because I love Him. I go soul winning because I love Him. There's a fire burning in my soul. It's called the love of Christ. Constraineth me. There is no choice. There is no other option. There is no other road. And brother, when you fall in love with Jesus, everything else falls in line in your life. When you see the Lord, you want to serve Him. Not for what He's done, but for who He is. Well, glory. Three things in the text this morning I want you to see. Number one, the vision that he saw. Beside of that word, write down the word conception. He had the right conception of who the Lord was. Isaiah said, I didn't see an old man with a walking cane upstairs. I didn't see some fragile being chewing his fingernails down to his elbow. He didn't hear a conversation among the Trinity and the Father and the Son and the Spirit saying, what we're going to do, where we're going to turn, how we're going to handle this. No, he had the right conception of who God was. He saw him sitting upon the throne. And can I remind you this morning, Biden's not in charge, and the Democrats are not in charge, and Trump's not in charge, and Obama, Osama, or your mama is not in charge, but the throne of God is occupied by the sovereign God of the glory world. It's not an earthly king that sits upon that throne. It's not an earthly ruler that sits upon that throne. Can I remind you, the God of the Bible, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, your King and my King, your Lord and my Lord, your Savior and mine. He's high and he's holy, and God is still on his throne. He's on the throne, and he's high and lifted up. Oh, he's not a weak God, he's the strong God. He's not the absent God. He's the omnipresent God. He is not the God that can't. He is the God who has, who can, and who will. He is high and lifted up. That's what Jesus had in mind in the model prayer. He said, begin your prayer with the right conception of God. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Can I remind you, when you fell on your knees last night, and when you fell on your knees this morning, when you lifted up your soul in prayer today, you will not pray into the government. You will not pray into an earthly figure. You will not pray into an earthly emperor. But you were praying to the God of heaven, the sovereign God of heaven, the almighty God of heaven, the omnipresent God of heaven, the omnipotent God of heaven, the unchanging God of heaven, the worthy God of heaven, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we get our eyes off a man and what he can do, and turn our eyes upon the throne of God, for he is high and lifted up. And I hope he's high and lifted up in your heart and in mine. And he said, as I watched that throne of God, I watched the angelic created beings. Now watch, begin to praise him day and night. These seraphims, these created beings, had six wings. With two, they covered their feet. With two, they did fly. And with two, they covered their face. When I get to heaven, I want to ask the Lord. I would love to be able to sleep and drive at the same time. I've often done it, but the results were not good. But man, you talk about a sovereign God. Them angelic beings can fly and never run into one another, and fly around the throne with their face covered. And while they're flying around the throne with their face covered, they are speaking through those covers. They're speaking through those wings. And they got a trio evidently. And one flies by and says, holy. Another one comes by and said, I second it. Holy. And another one flies by and said, I third it. Holy. Holy, holy, holy. And the Bible said they do it both day and night. So in other words, if you could leave right now and be transported into the third heaven where the throne of God is, here would be the sights and sounds of the throne. The Lord Jesus would be sitting there high and lifted up, sitting upon his throne, because he went to the cross and finished his task and obtained eternal redemption and sat down, Lord have mercy, upon the throne as the finished work. And as the Lord sits upon his throne, this would be the sound of the heavenly creatures. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. You say that's not much. It's a lot when you realize what holy is. Man, that's the first verse, holy. The second verse is holy. And the third verse is holy. And the chorus and the coda and the repeat line is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. He was before there was a was. He was before the morning stars sang together. He was before he laid the mud seals of this earth. And he stepped out of nothing and said, let there be, and it was. And God said, it's good. And they said, you're holy, and you're holy, and you're holy. Lord, you're holy. God, you're holy. Almighty, you're holy. You're holy as God the Father. You're holy as God the Son. And you're holy as God the Holy Ghost. You were holy yesterday, and you're holy today, and you will be holy tomorrow. While you've got the past wrapped in holiness, you got the present wrapped in holiness, you'll have the future wrapped in holiness, because you were God before, you're God right now, and you'll be God after. You the Lord before, you're the Lord right now, and you'll be the Lord after. You're Almighty before, you're Almighty right now, and you'll be the Almighty hereafter. I want to tell you, our God today is not some weak emperor that sits upon some man made throne. He's the sovereign God of heaven, the omnipotent Lord of glory, whose name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's holy, holy, holy. He is Lord God Almighty. Well, glory. Now that's the created beings. That's the Old Testament. The Immaculate Conception hadn't taken place yet. The miraculous birth hadn't taken place yet. His sinless life hadn't taken place yet. His prayer in Gethsemane hadn't taken place yet. His voluntary death on Calvary hadn't taken place yet. His fountain of his blood hasn't been opened up for a sinful world yet. He's not swept out the cemetery yet. He has not defeated death and hell and the grave yet. He has not saved and redeemed an old Gentile sinner yet by the precious blood of the Lamb. And if you think it was on then with just the created beings, honey, you wait till the ransom, to the born again, to the regenerated, to the blood-bought church of the living God walk through that throne. If an angelic being created in his absolute holiness can praise him, then somebody that was a half a heartbeat from hell that went to Calvary and got redeemed and washed in the blood, hallelujah. I'm telling you today, he is worthy of our praise. I read in the New Testament, Lord have mercy. I read in the New Testament that those in the New Testament that are redeemed and bought by the blood. Are going to get to do something that the created beings can't even do here. Oh, they're there. They're there. They're flying around the throne. Yeah, they're there. They're flying around the throne. They're lifting up their voice. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But they're having to look and speak through a covering. Even a seraphim even a created angelic being can be there, but not look on the face of the sovereign God of heaven. But yet the New Testament says, those that have been to Calvary and washed in the blood shall see his face. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll get to do something that an angel cannot do. They look through wings, but one day face to face, we'll see him in all of his glory. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood. Let's get a conception of who God is. Holy, eternal, high, lifted up, and he's worthy. Worthy of our praise. He saw the sovereign, but then he got a good look of the sovereign, his glory, his praise, his worthiness, his eternality. I'm hung up on that first point. But then he turned around and looked and said, oh my. In the light of him, I'm undone. In the light of him, I'm so unclean. Boy, if Isaiah would have saw me this morning, dressed up the best that I can, in my double-breasted suit and my paisley tie and my little pocket square and my cufflinks with my autograph cuff, my Stacy Adams, I don't know about you, but I think I'm styling and profiling. Say amen. Somebody said, why do you try to dress up? Because when you're fat and bald-headed, you need all the help you can get. And some of y'all out there need some help too, but I ain't going to point to nobody. But if Isaiah, Brother Don, could see me perched up here today, he'd probably say, well, old Joe's a good old boy, but he's full of faults and failures, and I'm as good as him. Why, if Isaiah was a member of Harvest Baptist Tabernacle, he could say something like this. Well, I know I'm not much, but I'm as good as anybody else that goes down there. For all of those who've said I'm as good as everybody else that goes down there, that's really not a compliment. If you want to get full of pride, just say I'm better than all them sinners that go down there. Because I want to tell you who's here today. Let me tell you who's in our church today. Low down, hell bound, rotten to the core, good for nothing sinners that ought to be in hell with our back broke. And the only reason why we're not, we've been to the cross and we've been to Calvary and we've been made accepted and worthy in the beloved. I don't stand in my strength. I don't stand in my goodness. My plea is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. My claim is Jesus. I feel like Paul, the chief as sinners. I am what I am by the grace of God. Listen to me this morning. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. We all got problems. We all got hang-ups. But you listen to this statement. If you are habitually, and I know every once in a while we all get an attitude. You say, I've never met anybody with an attitude. You ever been married? We all sometimes get an attitude. But if you are habitually proudful, pharisaical, holier than there, condescending to others, always pointing out other people's fault, and you're so blind you can't see your own, you know what your problem is? You've never seen the Lord. You've never been crushed under the weight of the glory of God.
Oh, you've never been broken by getting into the throne of God. Because I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, when you get where Isaiah's at, when you've been in the realm Isaiah's in, when the Holy Spirit has revealed to you how great, how holy, how awesome, how faithful, how pure, how wonderful God is, you will not be proud. You will not be pharisaical. You will not be full of self-esteem. You won't be condescending to everybody else. Honey, if you ever see the Lord like Isaiah saw the Lord, you'll say the same thing. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm rotten. I'm undone. I'm unclean. God, you don't need me, but I sure need you. I wonder if there's anybody in this room this morning, you're glad for that place in your life when you realize that God was everything and you was nothing, and you were the problem and God was the solution, and God was right and you were wrong. And I'm glad for the day when you side with God against yourself. Business is about to pick up. He saw his need when he saw the Lord. I grew up in a preacher's home. I grew up in a godly preacher's home. I grew up in a very strict preacher's home. Daddy invented stuff to preach against. I got made fun of the people I went to public school with, because I couldn't go where they went, do what they did, and wear what they wear, and act like they act. I got made fun of. I was the oddball. Oh, God. They wasn't keeping me from fun. They was keeping me from something else, but it wasn't fun. And I thought I was as good as anybody else. I felt like my mama had enough religion to save everybody. I mean, mama'd get in the glory and shout. Daddy'd preach a while and cry a while and whew. And I asked him one time, I said, Daddy, when you get happy, when you're preaching and you, whew, I said, what is that? He said, that's hallelujah, boy, in Hebrew. I remember, how many of you remember the champion sitting on the second row? And when he got so sick he couldn't shout, he just raised his cane. One of the last services he was here, he said to me, after we had a great service one Sunday morning, Monday morning before I left, I went by to check on him. And he said, son, I need to tell you something. I said, what is it, Pops? He said, I still feel God. I still feel God. But honey, by the time I stand up, he done moved on somebody else. Oh, my dad, my mom. And I know they say there are no perfect parents, but I'm just telling you, they ran a close race. Dad, mama were the greatest Christians I ever met in my life to this day. Mama prayed, daddy preached, and mama shouted. I mean, you ought to go with them to some dignified church where nobody says amen. And this big old guy's up preaching, and his little wife on the front were going, amen, bless him, Lord, sick him, Holy Ghost. Mama, when Julie and I were dating, I took her to see my parents. I wanted her to see my mom. I wanted her to get a visual of what I was used to. Somebody waiting on me and tending to me and cooking for me and putting my food on my plate and doing everything I say. Amening and shouting and going, sick him, Holy Ghost, while I preached. Well, we went up there, and all day Sunday she watched, and all afternoon, Sunday night she watched. And I had to have her home by a certain time, so I said, honey, we better go and start back to your mom and daddy's. And we're going down Interstate 77 south of Whitfield. I can take you to the time, and I can take you to the place. And we're going down right down in Fort Criswell, Virginia. And I looked over and I said, well, what do you think? And I remember she looked across that Ford, across the dashboard of that LTD, long-term debt Ford. I remember that. She looked over there and she said, drop dead, sucker.
It wasn't quite that bold, but she said, now listen, I'll cook and I'll clean. I'll clean and we'll go to McDonald's. Amen. And she said, but now I ain't gonna yell at you. I ain't gonna yell at you while you're preaching. I understood that while you were preaching. She said, I'll smile, I'll nod my head. And honey, I've been praying for 37 years. One day you lose it. I've never heard her yell about anything. She's never yelled at me the first time. And I would love for, honey, I'd just love to hear you shout real loud one time. Wouldn't that be awesome? How many of you think we'd be in the rapture if she did that? Honey, if some of you was to stay awake for 30 minutes, we'd be in the rapture. And I grew up in a wonderful family, wonderful home, and I thought I was good as anybody. In fact, I lived better than most of my daddy's church members. You say, did you fear the Lord? No, I feared my dad. I thought I was saved. I thought I was right with God. I lived as good as anybody. I mean, I had a drug problem going up. I got drugged to Sunday morning. I got drugged to Sunday night. I got drugged to Wednesday night. I got drugged revival night. He even made me go to the Women's Missionary Circle meeting one night. And I'm telling you, brother, I thought I was as good as anybody. And our little old youth group, we were singing one night at the Canaanland Baptist Church north of Reedsville, North Carolina. A young evangelist from Jacksboro, Tennessee, by the name of Stennett Ballou, was up a preaching from the book of Galatians, where Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he started walking through the Bible. And he said, according to the Bible, if you are a genuine born again child of God, these brand marks, these traits will be in your life according to the Bible. And brother, when he got to the checklist, I started checking them off. And about 35 minutes later, I realized I didn't have, and here's country talk, narrow one. I was religious but lost. I was a good old boy but lost. I was living right but lost. I was in church but lost. Had a preaching daddy and a shouting praying mama but lost. And brother, God hung me over hell. I mean, son, I could feel the fire. And I said, oh my God, it scared me to death. I froze in my seat. They were singing just as I am. I froze in my seat. I didn't know what to do. I thought water baptism was enough. I thought church membership was enough. I thought going through the rigors of religious motions was enough. I froze in my seat. I did not know what to do. I finally made it to the house and I went to the bedroom. I'm in the Norwood Estates, second row to the left, first house on the left, first bedroom to the right. I had red carpet, navy blue walls, a white ceiling. I'm going to turn the light off at night. Stars shine in its place. And yes, I had bell bottoms and I had platforms. I didn't have no long hair. Daddy wouldn't let me have that. But I did get my platform shoes. And I was a crude mood dude in a bad mood. Say amen right there. And brother, I remember getting in that red carpet and I said, oh God, I don't even know how to begin this prayer. I've been so deceived. I've been so deceived. I know my mama's got it. I know my daddy's got it. But Lord, I don't have you. I'm about to bust hell wide open. And the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life, I had to swallow my religious pride and swallow my reputation and swallow everything I've ever said. But I'm here to tell you, Joseph Moats, when the Holy Ghost got me to that place where there was no backing up, and I said, God, I'm wrong, I'm sinful, I'm wicked, I'm low down, I'm the problem, you're the answer, I'm the sinner, you're the Savior. Let me tell you what happened. The same thing that happened to Isaiah. I got a visit from the throne of God, and God touched my life, and my iniquity was cleansed, and my sin was purged. Let me tell you something this morning. Being baptized won't get you to heaven. Being a member of the church won't get you to heaven. Being a good person will not get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the cross and the blood and the power of the gospel. Blessed be the day when I junked my religion and a God, a relationship. closing in a minute. Because we get out at 12-ish. Oh, God. Let me tell you the difference. Go home today and read Isaiah 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5. You know what he's saying? Woe unto them. Woe unto them. He's got that accusing finger pointing in everybody's face. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Them stinking idolaters and adulterers and heathens, backsliders, and as Gerald Sheets would say, backslidders. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them, you sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing sinners. Woe unto them. But honey, did you read our text when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and he was overwhelmed by the glory of God? He changed his sermon. He changed his tune and he quit saying, woe unto them. And he said, woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. He'd have said something like this. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord, standing in a need of prayer. Because I'm telling you, when you see the glory of God, you'll see yourself. But then he turned and he saw the lost world. And said, not only am I undone, but Lord, have mercy. Everybody around me is lost. Everybody around me. I dwell in the midst of a people on unclean lips. Because the closer you get to God, you'll be left self-centered. And you'll think about others. And you'll care about others. I don't have time to finish this. Vision that he saw, but quickly notice the voice that he heard. He heard a conversation among the Trinity. And I may preach on this tonight. What amazed me about that conversation he heard. Oh God. God evidently was interested in them people down there with those unclean lips. Evidently God was interested in doing something for those people that Isaiah saw that needed him just like Isaiah needed him. And evidently that conversation was a conversation of interest because, Lord have mercy, if he can touch the lips of one man by the name of Isaiah, he can touch the lips of everybody that's around him. Hey, this is a Baptist church and we hadn't voted on anything today. So let's vote on this real quick. How many believe this morning if God can save you, he can save anybody? If God loves you, he must love everybody. If God's the answer to somebody, everybody's problem, your problem, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. He heard a conversation that God was interested in that lost world around him. And God was pleading and God was calling saying, I need somebody. I'm looking for somebody. I'm wanting somebody that'll walk in their world and make a difference. And I see the vision he saw, I see the voice he heard, but I see the vow that he made. You know how I know Isaiah wasn't a Baptist? Because the first word out of his mouth would have been, why? Second word would have been, where? But brother, let me tell you the way to the Spirit-filled life. Don't ask why. Don't ask where. Yell. Here! Say that with me. Here! God's never going to answer your why. You may never find your where. God doesn't want to hear why out of my mouth and where out of my mouth. He wants to hear here, here, here. You
know what the difference is being a church member warming a pew than being on fire for God and enjoying the blessings of God and living in the land of Canaan before you get to the land of glory? It's quit asking God why, quit asking God where, and cry out to the Lord here. Here. God, you're looking for a light in my home? Here. God, if you're looking for somebody to go on my job and brighten that whole town, here. Lord, if you're looking for a house in our community where the glory of God, the love of God can be seen, here. You know what I pray often? You know, in fact, you know what I pray nearly every day of my life as a pastor of a church? I say something like this. Now, God, you said in your word you were going to pour out your Holy Ghost power on somebody. You said the fire would burn in somebody's heart. God, you said you would revive your work in the midst of the years. You said you'd walk in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Lord, you said you inhabited the praises of your people. God, you're going to bless and anoint and pour out the Spirit of God and the power of God and the anointing of God. You're going to do that on some people. God, you said you would. And so, Lord, since you said you would, I know of a good place where it can start. And I believe the majority of us say, here. Well, God's going to bless somebody, why not us? He's going to fill some church with the Holy Spirit of God, why not us? He's going to have a body of people that give him glory, my soul. Why not us? He's going to have a place where his name is set for his glory. Why not us? Would you do your pastor a favor today in one accord in unison? Will you raise one hand and say it to the top of your voice, here, 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 here. Here am I. Send me. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do in anybody else's life. But I want you to do something in mine. Send me. And the very next verse, God said, opening word, go! Because if you'll tell God you're here, he'll move you to where you need to be and put you in his perfect will. Brother Don back here is from Texas, and if you're from Texas, you love Texas to the day you die. I'm not from Texas, but I love Texas. I've hunted in Texas, and that's the closest to heaven you'll get on earth, except being in this room when the power of God moves. I do got my priorities in line. But if you know anything about the history of the Republic of Texas, 1836, it all came down to a little mission called the Alamo. That was 190 men holding the line till Mr. Sam Houston could rally its troops and turn the tide of the battle. That was a young army colonel by the name of William Travis commanding that little post. One day he lifted up his sword and said, victory or death, surrender is not an option. February the 24th, late one night, 35 men from the nearest town came in and tried to relieve, but they were overwhelmed by the enemy. Inside of that little fort were two famous people, one guy from Tennessee named Davy Crockett. Beside of Davy Crockett was a guy from Arkansas named Jim Bowie, who invented the Jim Bowie hunting knife. There was no one there, Tom, swinging a golf club that were real men defending them.
Sorry, Bob. And they said that Colonel Travis realized they would all die. Said he took his sword and he drew a line in the sand at midnight. And said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Usually the army shoots deserters, but I realize a lot of you men have family. And if you want to leave and sneak out under the cover of darkness, you can go. But if you're willing to stand for Texas, will you cross this line in the sand? The first one to step across was Davy Crockett, and he wasn't even from there, but he realized the glory of freedom. And after all of the 190 men crossed that line, laying on an army cot because he had got the plague, was that rough, tough, knife-making man, Arkansas, the Arkansas toothpick, Jim Bowie, laying on that bed, could not even walk. But he said, Colonel Travis, I fight to the end. Somebody pick me up and carry me across the line. They said the last thing they saw was him laying on that cot across the line, defending and fighting till he gave up his life. He reminded me of that old Nazarene preacher, Uncle Bud Robinson. He stood up one day and he said, I'm going to fight the devil as long as I got a fist. I'm going to kick the devil as long as I got a foot. I'm going to bite the devil as long as I have teeth. And when I get old and lose my teeth, I'm going to gum him to death. You're saved today because somebody lifted that hand of volunteer and walked across the line. Your family needs you today. Your church needs you today. Your loved ones need you today. Your children need you today. America needs you today. We're not looking for the answer. We have the answer. Let's volunteer to be a voice for God. Let's stand together, Lord, our heavenly Father.